Okay, we're going to start here on the two dots and the top part of Tetzayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara is continuing to look at our Mishnah and derive the sources for what's written in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Lo da Navi Sheker. Navi Sheker has to be brought before a Beit Din Shel 71 of 71 members of the Sanhedrin Agdolah before he can be prosecuted. Menahani Milit. How do we know that? Rabbi Yossi Bar Bechanina Atya Hazada Mizakan Memre. Then we learn out of Gzera Shabbat from Zakin Mamre. And we know that Zakim Amri has to be bought before a Beit Din of 71. And therefore, we're going to take that Hazadah and apply it to a Navi Sheker. Because by the Navi Sheker, it's written, Acha Navi Asher Yazid. And by Zakim Amri, it's written, Ish Asher Yaseh B'Zadon. So just like the Zakim Amri has to contradict the Psak Halacha of the Beit Din Agdolah, so to over here, the Navi Sheker, in order to be brought to prosecution, will have to be in the Beit Din Agdolah. So Gemara says, "Mal halam mishivim echad, avka mishivim echad." V'ha zodah ketiva b'ktalahu dechtiva. Wait a minute. By the Navi, it's telling you what the punishment of the Navi is. That's Navi Asher Yazid, and it tells you that here we have to be what the punishment for that Navi is. When it comes to the punishment, v'ktali katalo beisri mitalatahu. When it comes to a Zokin Mamre, he can be put to death by a Beit Din of 23. The only requirement of the Beit Din of 71 by a Zokin Mamre has to do with the fact that he must contradict the Psak Halacha that he goes up and gets from the Beit Din Agadol. So that's when he's called a Zakin Mamre, when he goes against the Beit Din HaGadol. But in terms of his execution or his punishment, that can be done even by a Beit Din of 23. So if you're going to make Gezeirah Shavah, Hazadah, you're going to take the 23 from the Zakin Mamre for his death penalty to the 20. Now you only require 23 by a Navi Sheker. So that cannot be the source. So where it says, Ela Amar Reish Lakish, Gemar, Davar, Davar, Meham, Ato. And we learn out the Gezeirah Shavah, Davar, Davar. Davar from the rebellion or the contradiction of the Zakin Mamre to the Zakein Devar by the Navi Sheker. Because it says, by the Navi Sheker, it says, Asher Yasid, the Daber Davar. So there you have the word Davar. And by Zakein Mamre, when it comes to rebelling, it says, Vasita Pia Davar Asher Yerucha. So there, Davar, Davar. So there, the Davar by the Zakein Mamre is referring to the contradiction or his statement against the Beit Din HaGadol of 71, and that we're going to apply to the punishment or the adjudication of the case against the Navi Sheker has to also be done with a Beit Din of 71. So Gemara says, okay, once we've done that, well, now we have Davar Davar that teaches us Navi Sheker put to death with 71. The Zakin Mamre has to contradict the Beit Din HaGadol, but he's still put to death by a Beit Din of 23. So why don't we learn now? Once you know that a Navi Sheker is put to death with 71, let's say 71 by Navi Sheker, and then bring that over to the Hazadah by the Zakin Mamre to say his punishment should be the same way. Davar Davar Gamir, Hazadah Hazadah Lo Gamir. That he had the Gzer Shava of Davar Davar, he had the Gzer Shava of Hazadah Hazadah, he did not have. So Rashi here lays out for us a principle about Gzer Shava. That is, it's not a logical argument, as opposed to a Kal V'Chomer, which a person can do on his own, because that is a logical argument. When it comes to a Gzera Shava, a person has to receive a Gzera Shava from his Rebbe. It's Halacha the Moshe Misinai, it has to be passed down from Rebbe to student, because one doesn't know. One doesn't know what the purpose of the Gzera Shava, doesn't know what the Pasuk's for. Gzera Shava is something that has to be passed down. It's not necessarily a logical argument. So from this, one can conclude, or from the Lashon of Rashi, it sounds like you can't even get it from a fellow student or another person's Rebbe. It has to be directly from your Rebbe that you get a Misorah about the Gzera Shava. Tosos in other places, the Gemara in Shabbos, as well as somewhat in the Gemara in Sukkah, seems to mention that each Tana had a number of Gzera Shavot that they had, and that number of Gzera Shavot determines how many they can use. And if you used up your allotment already, you can't use any more. But there was a Misorah as to how many Gzera Shavot there were, and based on that, he had lined up, or he got a Misorah from his Rebbe, which ones were the Gzera Shavot. But still, in the end, Tosfot, then Rashi seemed to indicate that it has to come directly from your Rebbe and not from anybody else. The Margolis Hayyam takes issue with this, and you can see many times in the Gemara, the Gzera Shava is used in an interesting form. In that sometimes it seems that the Gemara has a Gzera Shava, and from the Gzera Shava they're learning out the Din. On the other hand, there are other times where it seems that the Gemara has the Din, and is looking for the source and takes the Gzera Shava. So that's the Margolis Hayyam says there are actually two types of Gzera Shava. It's a Gzera Shava that I have in Misorah from my Rebbe. That Gzera Shava that I have in Misorah from my Rebbe is a Gzera Shava that I learn out from. That anybody else can accept, and they, if they, I heard it, and I say it was from my Rebbe, they can accept it as well. There's a different type of Gzeirah Shavah, which is that I have a din, and I'm trying to learn it from somewhere, and I use a Gzeirah Shavah to give it strength or to show that it's a real a din. That Gzeirah Shavah, other people do not have to accept, because that Gzeirah Shavah is really a derivative of the din, not the source for the din. So based on that, we have different types of Gzeirah Shavah. There's certain Gzeirah Shavah which you cannot be dan me'atzmo, you have to get a Mesorah, and that can be passed from Rebbe to student, but also can be passed from student to student, as long as they have a good Mesorah for it. On the other hand, when it comes to the one of Gzeirah Shavah, which is made, in a sense, made up, but made to solve the problem, what's the source for this din that we know, that Gzeirah Shavah another person does not have to accept, and can also reject. I mean, it doesn't have a solid Mesorah behind it, and therefore it doesn't have to be the source, or does not have to be absolutely accepted, because we don't have a strong Mesorah for that type of Gzeirah Shavah. Right, the Gemara says, lo et a Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol has to be, or his cases have to be adjudicated before the Beit Din HaGadol of 71. The Gemara says, v'nani mile, amar avada bar avo damar kra, kol adavar gadol yaviu elecha. So this is what we learned above, with regards to matters of the Nasi. So we said here, Rav Arba says that kol davar gadol yaviu elecha dvarav shel gadol. Anything that deals with a big gun, meaning the Kohen Gadol, has to be brought before the big Beit Din, and means the Beit Din of 71. So meitavei. So how do we know the davar gadol? Right. So the Gemara is about to ask a question from a Braita that doesn't learn it this way. But again, these psukim, or this pasuk, is from by Yitro. By Yitro, it says that the davar gadol we brought before you, Moshe. Moshe represents, or is in place of the Beit Din of 71. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, if you bring the din before Moshe Rabbeinu, so to latid lavo, you're gonna have to bring the din of the gadol, the big gun, who's the Kohen Gadol, before Moshe Rabbeinu. When it says meitvei devar gadol devar kasheh, ata omer devar kasheh oinu ela devar avshel gadol. How do I explain the word devar gadol? Devar gadol means a big thing. Big thing can mean a big person, or a big an individual is a big gun, or it can mean devar kasheh, means something difficult. So I don't know what's the proper interpretation when the pasuk uses devar gadol. So is it devar kasheh, something difficult, or devar avshel gadol, or something related to someone who is of high stature or high standing? Shomer et devar kasheh yavinu Moshe. So later on, when Moshe Yitro gives the advice, and then Moshe puts it into action. When it says he puts it into action, it says that Adavar Kasher Yavinu Moshe, the difficult items they will bring before Moshe. So Adavar Kasher Amor. So that shows you that the Gavar Gadol above must have been Adavar Kasher. Because when Moshe implements the actual suggestions of Yitro, he says, difficult items you should bring to me. So that means the Adavar Gadol that was used before also means Adavar Kasher. So if that's the case, then the Amor, that can't be the source for our Mishnah. Where it says, Nuhuda Marki Haitan. There's another Braisa, and that's the Braisa which is the source for our Mishnah, the Tanya. Davar Gadol, Dvarav Shogadol Tomer, or Dvarav Shogadol, Oeno Dvar Kashem. When I say Dvar Gadol, that means the Dvarav Shogadol, items that relate to a person of stature, a big gun, like the Kohen Gadol, or do I mean a difficult item? Shomer Dvar Kashem. Later on, the second pasuk says Dvar Kashem. Hare Dvar Kashem. Then we already know about difficult items. Amor, Hamana became Dvar Gadol, so why is there use of Dvar Gadol? Dvarav Shogadol. So even though one of them is relating to implementation and one is relating to the suggestion, nevertheless, Gadol and Kasher, we're going to learn differently. If you wanted to use the same word, you should have, but they didn't. It means Kasher means a difficult item, and Gadol means the Rav Shel Gadol. Vaitano, the first Tano who says that Gadol and Kasher are synonymous, Trey Krai Lomali, what do I need to psukim for? So that's easy to answer, because Chad Tzavah Ba'alma, V'chad Asiyah. One was what Yitro was suggesting to Moshe, how it should be done, and then Ad Asiyah was how it was implemented. So that makes a lot of sense. That Tano makes a lot more sense. So wow, what about our Idach? What about our Tana? Our Tana is trying to explain that Gadol and Kasher are different items. Sounds much more like the Tana that says they're synonymous. Where it says, Im gein lechtob o Gadol, Gadol, o Kasher, Kasher. Meaning that if you wanted to just simply talk about suggestion, implementation, you should have used the same word in both places. The fact that it changes the world, my Gadol, my Kasher, Shmami not tired, so you can lose two things, learn two things. One is that there was the suggestion. Number two is there was the implementation. Number three, the other item that you can learn out is that the change between Kasher and Gadol teaches you not only are difficult items brought to Moshe Rabbeinu, but also Devar Gadol, things that relate to people of stature like the Kohen Gadol. By Rabbi Lazar, Shushuro Shel Kohen Gadol B'Kama. When you have to adjudicate a case, or you have to bring to Beit Din a case that relates to the shore of the Kohen Gadol, B'Kama, what type of Beis Din do you need? Do we compare him to his owner? When it comes to the owner, we say that a shor has to, that we say that v'gambalav yumat. It says that the shor yitzakel v'gambalav yumat, that the shor is put to death, and so too the owners are put to death. So there we had some gzera shavah, that the, just like the owner has to base him 23, to be executed, so too the shor needs a beis din of 23 to be executed. But over here, that's not the case. The Kohen Gadol has a beis din of 71 to be executed or to bring out the punishment for capital crimes. So if that's the case, and you want to draw a hekesh between the shor Yisakel and the balav yumat, then over here you should say that the shor of the Kohen Gadol requires a beis din of 71. That means Balim in general. Balim in general require 23. We're not talking about this one specific case where the Kohen Gadol has to deal with 71. So Rabbi, you mean to call me Baile Shoro? The fact that the Gemara asks the question, or you're asking the question about Shor, Michlal, the Mamono Pshitale. By Mamon, it's Pshita to him. By anything to do with monetary matters of the Kohen Gadol, it's simple to him that you don't need a Beit Din of 71. Gemara says, Pshita, of course you don't need a Beis Din of 71 for monetary matters. Gemara says, no, Ma'u Detema Obektov Kol Davar HaGadol. All items that relate to the Kohen Gadol, Kol Dvarav Shagadol. Anything related to the Gadol should be brought to a Beis Din 71, Kamash Malan, that we don't say that. And we'll see later on in the Gemara, again, that the Gemara has other drashot, why the requirement of 71 only relates to capital crimes and not to issues of monetary crimes or corporal punishment. The Gemara now limits this requirement of 71 to capital crimes. And when it comes to Dine Mamononos, we do not involve a Beis Din of 71, even with the Kohen Gadol. The question of Sharot seems to be left unanswered at this point in time. We don't go out to battle or war without first consulting with the Sanhedrin HaGedolah. So Gemara wants to know, how do we know that which is written in the Mishnah, where do we have a source for such a item that you have to go out to battle or go out to Melchemet HaRashut, that you require the permission of the Beit Din HaGadol? So the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, this is from a Pasuk in Bamidbar. It says here, when it's the Tzivoy, Hashem is appointing Yoshua to be the leader over Klal Yisrael. This point in time, it says in the Pasuk in Perach Avdal, Pasuk Chafal, Lifnei Elazar HaKohen, Yamod, he'll stand before Elazar HaKohen, V'shaldo B'mishpat HaUrim, he'll ask the Urim HaTumim, Lifnei Hashem, V'al Piv Yitzu, V'al Piv Yavou, they will go out by his word and come in by his word, who? V'chol B'nei Yisrael Ito, he and all B'nei Yisrael, V'chol Aida, and all of the Aida. So why is going to darshan this Pasuk? First of all, it says, Lifnei Elazar HaKohen, Yamod, so he has to go before Elazar HaKohen, who? That's the Melech, that's Yeshua himself. V'chol b'nei Yisrael ito, who is all b'nei Yisrael? Zeh Meshuach Melchama. This is the Kohen that goes out to the war that leads the troops out into the battle. V'chol Eida, zeh Sanhedre. That's the Sanhedrin. So based on that, you would require, in order to go to Melchemet Reshut, you would have to require that you need the king, you need the Meshuach Melchama, and you need the Sanhedrin Agdola. So that's the source that we need Sanhedrin Agdola. Maybe over here, what the Pasuk is discussing is, who are you permitted, or who do you ask the Urim V'Tumim about issues? When you have questions, you have issues, who are you allowed to query the Urim V'Tumim about? So maybe that means, that's for the Melech, who? For the Meshuach Melchumah, for the Sanhedrin. So if the Sanhedrin has a question, has issues, they can go to the Urim V'Tumim. But what we don't do is ask for individuals to the Urim V'Tumim. So this pasuk may have nothing to do with going out to Milchama. It might have to do with, when do you have permission to ask the Urim V'Tumim for advice or for an answer? Ella, the source for the fact that you have to ask the Sanhedrin Gadolah before you go out to battle, comes from this. Gadam Aravacha Bar Bizna Amar Rabbi Shimon Chasidak. Kinor Hayat Talui L'malam Mitzvot Shel David. There was a harp that was above the bed of David HaMelech, or a lyre that was above the bed of David HaMelech. Once, came Shegiach Chatzot Olai, when midnight came, Ruach Tzvonim in Hashevet Bo, the northern wind begins. So you had some hole in the lyre that allowed the wind to come through. As Rashi points out, the northern wind is a gentle, nice wind that comes every night. And sometimes it also comes during the day, and that's positive. But the one at night starts at midnight every night. The northern wind starts to pick up. And from that, it would play the lyre that was over David's bed. David Omeid Vosek Patarat. That would awaken him. That was his alarm clock. So get up and learn Torah. Shalom Amud HaShachar. Until the daybreak. Kevin Shalom Amud HaShachar. Once it was daybreak, Nichnasu Chachamim Israel Etzlo. The Jews need a way to make a living. So we have a large nation here. Let's do business. Let's be self-sufficient. Let's do business amongst each other, and then it'll be sufficient. Number one, it sounds like there's just not enough. There's not enough for all of us to make a living, even if we interact with each other. Number two is we also have aniim. And we don't have enough parnosa, even if we interact with each other, we don't have enough to support those that are less fortunate, don't have a parnosa. which is that the kometz, a small amount, does not satisfy the lion. So as we have a large nation, they don't have enough ways of making a living to satisfy everybody. And number two is, ein abor mitmalei mechulyato. Rashi and Tosfot disagree exactly what it means, but it seems to me that if one digs a pit, then when he goes to take the dirt that he dug out to refill the pit will not be refilled. Or the possibility is that a bore that is dug that has water in it, it will never fill up to the top unless you, either from rainwater or from itself, unless you bring outside water into it, then it will fill up or overflow from the top. So therefore, but basically the Chachamim are indicating to David is there's not sufficient enough to go around. Even if we all work and there should have been enough parnasa between all of us, nevertheless, now that there's a niyim here and we have to give them extra, there's not enough from what's here to feed those others or those that are in need. So now, what does he say? Alright, we have to go to war. To make our land more expansive, to gain access to other resources, to conquer lands and to get hold of other monies. So miyad. So what? How do they go to battle? Miyad yuatzim b'achitofel. They ask advice from Achitofel. V'yomachim b'Sanhedrin. They check in with the Sanhedrin. V'sholim b'tumim, and then they check in with the Kohen Agadol with the Urim b'tumim. So there you see that in order for David to go to battle, a milchemet reshut here, which was a battle of choice, it wasn't a milchemet mitzvah. Here he was just doing it in order for monetary reasons or for the sake of commercial interests, he was going to war. There he had to go ahead and ask the Sanhedrin. So that's what our Mishnah, we wanted to know from a Mishnah. How do you know that you have to go ask the Sanhedrin in the Mishnah? And here we have it in this story about David HaMelech. Amar Rav Yosef Maikra. How do we know that this is true? How do we know that David did all of this? So the Pasuk says, in Divrei Yamim, V'achrei Achitofel, after Achitofel came Benayahu ben Yehoyada. That is not the Gersa in our Divrei Yamim. In our Divrei Yamim, the Gersa is Yehoyada ben Benayahu. Ve'vyatar, and then Abiatar, Vitzad Zavala Melech Yoav, and the general was Yoav. So now the Gemara is going to explain it. What does this pasuk mean? Achitofel ze yoetz. Achitofel was the advisor to the king. Chenu Omer, because it says in Shmuel Bet, here in discussing when Achitofel was giving advice to Avshalom, it says about Achitofel, Vatzad Echudah Asher Ya'atz, that he's giving advice, and the advice that he gives is like Divrei Elokim, is like the word of God. So both when David or Avshalom gets advice from Achitofel, that's the best advice there is. So that's what it means. First, David went to his advisor and asked what to do. Then, Ubnayo ben Yehuda. Ubnayo ben Yehuda represents the Zu Sanhedrin. That means the Sanhedrin. Or again, the way it's argued, surrends, it's Yehuda ben Benayo. That is the Sanhedrin. Eviatar means Eloi Urim Mitumim, going after the Urim Mitumim, because Eviatar is the Kohen. V'chein Omer, and how do we know this? Because it says, Ubnayo ben Yehuda al Hakreti. Again, our guess is not Ve'al, but rather Ve'hapleti. So here it's Benayo ben Yehuda, which is the Girsa here, and not Yehuda ben Benayahu. So even though it's actually two people, the way to reconcile it is to say it's a father and a son. The father and son were both the Roshe Sanhedrin, and therefore the Pasuk is really telling you the same thing, which is, we see over here in the Pasuk in Divrei Yamim, Achriyat Yovo Benayo, or Yehuda ben Benayahu, and then Eviatar. Over here also we say first Benayo ben Yehuda, and then the Kreti and the Pleti. So the Kreti and Pleti are referring to the Urim V'Tumim, or replacing Eviatar. That's what it seems to be from the Pshat of Rashi and from the Ben Ochanano, that the Kreti and Pleti are replacing Shekotim Divreihem uPleti Shemuchlim Asehem. Kortim Divreihem, that they're clear, the Urim V'Tumim are clear about what the instructions are, and Muflim Asehem is that it's a miracle, it's a nace that the Urim V'Tumim are able to answer or to deal with these issues. Then Achakak starts to follow Melech Yoav, and then afterwards they go to battle, meaning that the general is let loose and goes to battle. So you see that from these psukim, that the king first asks his advisors, then he asks the Sanhedrin Agdolah, and then he goes to the Urim V'Tumim, asks the Hashem basically, and then he goes and gives permission to the general to go to battle. So based on that, it also seems to indicate a little bit that maybe the Kreti Upleti here is referring to the Sanhedrin itself. That how do we know that Yehuda ben Benayahu is referring to the Sanhedrin? We know Eviatar is a Kohen, so we know that refers to the Urim B'Tumim. So how do we know that Yehuda ben Benayahu was actually the Sanhedrin? So the Gemara brings a pasuk from Uvnayahu ben Yehuda, who was either his son or his father, and he's al Kreti Upleti. Who are the Kreti and the Pleti? That's the Sanhedrin. Shekortin Devarim, they give Psak Alocha, they come to a final decision. That they act, their midot and the way they conduct themselves and their knowledge of Torah is awesome. So that is what it's referring to. The Kreti Upleti is not referring to the Urim B'Tumim here, but rather referring to the Beit Din or Sanhedrin itself. Amar Yitzchak Brei Rav Adar, Ramila Rav Yitzchak Brei Dumi Maikra. What's the pasuk that we know that David used to wake up to the kinor at midnight? It's because the pasuk says Urak Fodi Ura Nevel V'Chinor Ayira Shachar. It says that Hashem should wake me up, His presence should wake me up, or Anevel Chinor, the lyre and the harp should, or the harp and the lyre should awaken me. And then it says afterwards, Ayir Ashacha, that I will be ahead of the morning. I will wake up the morning, not like others, where the morning wakes them up. So I will be up before the morning. How is it that there was Chatzot? We know from the Pasuk in Tehillim Kuf Yutet, Chatzot Laila Akum Lodot Lecha. Then I will get up at midnight. So we know that he was up before the morning. And we know the other Pasuk in Tehillim says that he was up at midnight. So it makes sense that this whole incident took place at midnight, that he was awoken by the Nevel V'Chinor. Alright, the next thing the Mishnah says is, in Mosifim Aleir, not allowed to add on to the city of Yerushalayim unless you have the Beit Din of 71 involved. Not immediately. How do you know this? Amar Avsimi Barchi Amar Kra. The Pasuk says, in the building of the Mishkan, it says, Gochol Asher Ani Maratcha Etavnita Mishkan, that everything that I show to you, the way that the Mishkan is built, Vechein Be'etavnit Kelav, and all of the way that the Kelim are made, Vechein Tasu. And chen tasu. What does it mean, chen tasu, and you should do this? Chen tasu means l'dorot abayim. In the future, those dorot should do like what you did here in the Mishkan. And who built the Mishkan? Who got all the instructions for the Mishkan and gave all the instructions? That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is connected, Shivim Ve'achai is connected to the Beis Din of 71. And we see that the Mishkan and all the Kelim were built. So anything that deals with Kedusha or Kedushat Kodesh Baruch Hu, that has to be done through the Beis Din of 71. So Meiti Rav, was that really true? Bechein Tasu means the Dorot. It says, Kol HaKelim Shasam Moshe Meshichatan Mekadshan. That when it comes to the Kelim that Moshe made, when they were put into service, the way they were put into service was that they were anointed by the Shem and HaMishcha. Past this point of Olatam, if Kelim are made post Moshe Rabbeinu, the way they come into service is by use. If they're used, then they become Kadosh. Vamai. Why should that be the case? Name of Chen Tasu L'Dorot Abayim. So you say Chen Tasu should mean that the same way you did in the Mishkan, you should do it in the future. So if that's the case, just like by Moshe Rabbeinu, the way to put the Kelim to service was to anoint them with Shem and HaMishcha, so too in the future, the way to put them to service should be anoint them with the Shem and HaMishcha. The Gemara says, no, Shani Hatam Dar Makra, there's a specific pasuk by the Kelim that says, Vayim Shachem Vayikadesh Otam. Says the word otam. Otam b'mishicha v'lo l'dorot mishicha. Otam is a mute. That mute says that only those of Moshe Rabbeinu's generation will be placed, or have the Shem and HaMishcha placed on them. But l'lo l'dorot, in the future that will not be the case. So ve'ema, so let us say, let's tell him what otam b'mishicha l'dorot, they had to be done with Shem and HaMishcha l'dorot. In the future, iba mishicha, iba avodah, you have a choice. You can either put them into service, and that'll make them kadosh, or you can anoint them with Shem and HaMishcha, and that'll put them into service. Amar Papa Makra, the Pasuk says, Asher Yishatu Bam B'Kodesh, that those that you will use will make them Kodesh. HaKotuv Talan B'Sherut, that the Pasuk clearly says that it has to do with service, that them putting into service is what makes them Kadosh. So that is the future. Asher Yishatu Bam, those that you will use in the future are done, that's how they're made Kodesh. Whereas here, it's Mechein, over here it's Tavnit Kol Kelav, is the ones that Moshe Rabbeinu did, and Vayim Shechem. Those that are Vim Shechem Yagadesh Otam are those that are in front of us. So the ones that are in front of us are done Meshicha, those in the future are done through Chinuch or through being used. And that's what makes them Kadosh. So if that's the case, Elo Otam Lamali, well, if you can learn it out from that Pasuk, that we have one Pasuk that teaches you the ones in Moshe Rabbeinu's time, we have another Pasuk that teaches you about the ones in the future, what do we need the Miut of Otam for? Ilav Otam Avamina, had it not been for Otam Avamina, to wrote Meshicha Ubar Voda. In the future, you require both. You require both Shem and HaMishcha, and you require the usage in order to become Kadosh. The Aktiv, Chein Tasu, because you have the puzzle, Chein Tasu. Katav Rachman Otam, Otam Mishicha, Vlo Dorot Mishicha. So Otam comes to exclude it and say, no, you had the puzzle by Moshe Rabbeinu, it says it was done Shem and HaMishcha, and we also had the puzzle by Chein Tasu, anything that was done by Moshe should be done in the future. So that means it has to be done with Shem and HaMishcha. But that wouldn't be enough, because we also have the other pasuk says Asher Yishatu Bam, that you have to use them. So you have to do both. Use them and Asher Mishcha. Otam comes to teach you, no, Bechein Tasu does not affect the Kelim. It's not relevant to the Kelim. And Otam means only the Kelim are in Moshe's time were done through Shem Mishcha. And in the future, you only have to use them in order to become Kadosh. Now, even though, truthfully, when it comes to other limudim that we learn, for instance, as do Tavnit HaMishkan, when it comes to expanding the Azarot, expanding the city, and then we need a Beis Din of Shivim Ve'Echad, how do we know that? It's not just that you need a Beis Din of Shivim Ve'Echad, you also need a king, you need a Navi, you need all sorts of other people involved over here. And Moshe, how do we know this? We know that from Moshe, because Moshe was also the king, also a Navi, and also a Makom Ayin Echad. So if you say that, why don't you say the same thing by Kelim? If by Kelim you want to suggest, right, that you have to use Bechein Tasu, it has to be the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu did, we should also require Melech, Navi, Shivim Echad. How come the Gemara over here wants to assume that all you need is a Beis Din Shel Shivim Echad, or at least has a Havni to that? So Gemara says that over here, by the case of Tavnita Mishkan, because it says V'chein Tasu, that means that we want to add more. I mean, the V'chein Tasu seems to mean that you have to replicate it exactly. But when it comes to other instances or other issues that are brought up, when we have a Hekesh to Moshe Rabbeinu, there we're going to limit the Hekesh to Moshe Rabbeinu to deal with the 71, that he's in place of the 71. So only B'chein Tasu, which seems to indicate that we have to replicate exactly what was done at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, then we have to replicate like exactly like what he was. Moshe was a Navi, Melech, Bizdin, Shoshivim, Echad. And also it says, okay, from the Psukim that we just learned here, that we see that the Kelim in the future do not require Mishicha. But maybe they still should require a bezin of shivim ve'achad. So it also says now that the word otam comes to teach us v'chein tasu does not go on the kelim. That otam is not just a miut. They don't do it like that in the mikdash. We don't do anything. It's totally separate from that which was done in the kelim in the mishkan. Are totally separate from the kelim that are done in the future. Okay, now the Gemara asks, Beino sim sanhedriot. You can only appoint Sanhedrin. You can only appoint judges or batidinim in different areas from the through the Beit Din HaGadol. And how do we know this? Ashkar Moshe. We have Moshe, the Uki Sanhedrin. Moshe was the one who established all the Sanhedrin, established the legal system in Parshat Yitro. Moshe, b'makom shim v'charkai, and Moshe is in place of the Beis Din HaGadol. Tan Rabbanan, minayin shemamidim shoftim l'Yisrael. How do you know that you put up each shoftim for Klal Yisrael? Tam lomar shoftim titen. You have to appoint judges. Shotrim l'Yisrael minayin. How do you know that you also have to have, I'll call them the police, but that's not what they're really more like sheriffs, that the people that carry out the orders of the Beit Din, whether that's to bring the litigants to the Beit Din or to carry out the punishments of the Beit Din. How do we know that we have this? Tam lomar shotrim titen. You have to appoint people to be the shotrim. Shoftim l'chol shevet shevet minayin. How do you know that there should be judges for each shevet in particular? Minayin tam lomar shoftim lishvatecha. So it sounds like you have to have a shofet for each shevet. Shotrim l'chol shevet shevet. How do I know that they shotrim that carry out the will of the Beit Din? How do I know that they also be appointed for each shevet? Minayin tam lomar shotrim lishvatecha. Now, shoftim l'chol yirviyir. How do I know that you have to have a shofet in every city? Not only for every shevet, but also in every city you have to have a legal system that is set up or a judicial system that is set up in each city. How do I know that? So the Gra amends this to read over here, Tamalomar Shoftim Lichol She'arecha, or Bichol She'arecha, that you have to put up Shoftim in every shahr. Every shahr means in each city. Shotrim Lichol Yerviyir Minayin. How do I know that every city also needs Shotrim? Tamalomar Shotrim Bichol She'arecha, that you have to put up Shotrim in every shahr. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Echad Mumuneh Al Kulan. One of them is appointed Allah over them. Shenemar Titein Lecha. You shall place above all of these. So Rashi learns that Titein Lecha over here means that it's referencing everything we've learned until now. Rabbi Yehuda comes to extend that and say, Titein Lecha means that you have to have a Beit Din HaGadol over all of these. All of this system that you set up, this legal system, judicial system, you have to Titein Lecha, you have to place somebody above it all. And that is the Beit Din HaGadol. That's the way Rashi learns. Tosfos rejects that learning limud and says, now Rabbi Yehuda is dealing with a totally different issue. And but Rabbi Yehuda is dealing with is that in each Beis Din there has to be what's called a Mufla Shebe Beit Din. In each Beis Din there has to basically have an Av Beit Din. An Av Beit Din who is the head of the Beit Din, he runs the Beit Din. Tosfos here discuss an issue whether he counts towards the number of the people in this Ben Beit Din. I mean, does he count towards the 23 that are there, or is he in addition to the 23? And same thing with the 71. Is the Mufla Shebe Beit Din, or the Av Beit Din, is he included in that number? Is he above that number? But nevertheless, he says, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, Titen Lecha means that you have to have leaders. You have to have people who run the system and who are in charge and who are considered Muflaim should be Beit Din. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says, Titen Lecha. Shul Amer, L'shvatecha b'shavtu, mitzvah b'shevet adun et shivto. Says that we can learn out the fact that by a shevet, it's required that each shevet have its own shoftim. We learned that out because it says lishvatecha v'shavtu mitzvah b'shevet nadun et shivto. Sounds like that lishvatecha v'shavtu, that your shvatim must judge. I mean, who are they judging? Themselves. Shavtim, they have to judge themselves. That means that each shevet should have its own judging system. Tosfos points out over here, what happens if you have a city that belongs to two shvatim? In that case, Tosfos says you'll actually have to have two sets of judges in the city, one for the each shevet. You have to have two sets of judges in order to accommodate that. Right now, Eino Simir Aydachat, the Mishnah says you cannot make an Aydachat, right, with Beis Din Shel Shivim Echad. Minah Animili. How do we know this? Because it's Amar Rabbi Chir by Yosef, Rabbi Oshia, Amar Krav. When it comes to the punishing or capital crimes with an individual, those you take out to the Shar, to the Beit Din and the Shar, which is the Beis Din of 23. But you don't take the whole city out to the Shar, to the Beis Din that's sitting there, maybe the Beis Din of 23. Rather, you have to take them to the Beis Din of 71. You're not allowed to make an iridacha on the border, my taima, because the pasuk says by iridacha mikir becha, from your insides, meaning that internally. That's to be internally and not on the borders. Velosh shalosh, you're not allowed to make three aray nidachot dichtiv achat, because it says one a city, one city. Avalosim achat oshtam, but you can't make one or two. Now, dechtiv arecha, because arecha is plural, so that means a minimum of two. So when it says one, achat velo shalosh, is it one and not three? Ata omer achat velo shalosh, u'enu ala achat velo shtayim. It means one and not three, or one and not two. Kshu omer arecha, arei shtayim. When it says arecha, we know already that means there's a minimum of two. So amor, maha menikeim, achat, achat velo shalosh. One comes to exclude three. So you can have one or two arei nidachot, but you can't have three. Zinu amamar, bebeit din achat hu den osim. That only a single beis din cannot make more than one or two arei nidachot. But if it's multiple batidinim, then they can make more than one ayir anidacha. I mean that the limitations on a single beit din, not on the legal system as a whole. So now the Gemara asks, "Lama ein osim my taima? What's the reason that Rav says that you can't ever do this? Mishum karcha. We don't want to leave these empty stretches or desolate areas inside of Eretz Yisrael. That's only one place. If it's in multiple areas, then we don't have to worry about korcha, which means, what is makom echad means in the Galil or in the Yudah. If there are different areas of Eretz Yisrael, then you could adjust and you could have, because they wouldn't make it into a korcha. Yochanan says you can't do it because of desolation will cause Eretz Yisrael. Kahani kavati Rabbi Yochanan, a price that supports that position of Rabbi Yochanan. You can't make three. Ayarot nidachot Beretz Yisrael. I'm assuming with Tam Shnayim, but you can't make two. Kagon. And what's an example? Two. Achad biyudav, achad begalil. So it doesn't matter. It's across the whole Eretz Yisrael. We look at the whole Eretz Yisrael, and you can't make one in Yudah, one in Yudah. But Shnayim biyudav, Shnayim begalil, enosim. But locally, in one area, you can't even make two. So that's the idea that Rabbi Yochanan believes karcha applies to any area. In the whole entire Eretz Yisrael, you can't have. Whereas Rish Lakish looks at it on a regional basis. On a regional basis, you can't have a karcha. But if it's across the entire Eretz Yisrael, that's not a karcha. Now then, Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's much more limiting in saying that it's all of Eretz Yisrael. We look at the whole entire Eretz Yisrael, and if you have two or three, that's already making Eretz Yisrael desolate. V'smucha l'sapar, afilu achat enosim, when it's on the border, we don't even do one. My taima, why not? Shem yishmu nachrim, because maybe the enemies will hear, v'yachriba et Eretz Yisrael, they'll come and attack Eretz Yisrael. Meaning that they'll realize that the one of two possibilities, they realize that the borders are not protected now because there's a city or the border city has now been taken away and that protection is gone. Or number those two, they'll see that the Jews themselves are destroying the city. So they'll say, well, why don't we go and attack as well? So because of that, we don't do that. Why does he learn the Lima? Why did we say before, the reason you can't do it in Sapar is the word Mikir Becha. It says that it has to be internally, not on the borders that you do it. But let me know Sapar. Rabbi Shimon, he, the Darish time of the Kral. The author of this Breisel is Rabbi Shimon, and Ochanami, that the Lima is from Mikir Becha. But he's giving you the reason. What's the reason for this Lima? The reason for this Lima is because we don't want to open up the borders to the enemy. Okay, we'll stop over here.